So thanks for wanting to come and be willing to come and chat with me a little bit. Tell me a little bit about you and your life and what you're doing. And so I'd like to just start by kind of understanding a little bit about how you got, what happened to you in terms of getting into the weekend, getting started with MKP. What tell me a little bit about that experience.
So it was not a long engagement. So in 2013, I had just gone through a divorce and or was in the process. And a friend of mine that I studied shamanism with, I had lunch with, and he was saying, oh, something about this Mankind project and the warrior concept. And I'm like, well, that's cool. And he said, yeah, it's going on like in 2 weeks in Prescott. And I was like, so I went and signed up and said, all right, I'll go. I just looked at the website a little bit just to see what it was about. And
yeah.
So I had no glimpse of anything about it.
So were you feeling, what felt cool to you about it? Were you like feeling a need to kind of check some stuff out, or just was it curious about it?
I have always been a opportunist. So when something comes up that fits, I just do it. This came up at a point where I had focused on doing more what I cared to do because I had some freedoms, and that just became the next thing.
So it felt right. You had room. It was close. This is Arizona. So were you living in Arizona at the time, Prescott?
Yeah. No, I was south. I was south of Tucson. So where that camp was, where they did the weekend, was north of Prescott a little bit, but it was not far from, you know, where I lived in southern Arizona.
Mm-hmm. So tell me what that was like for you. When you went, you obviously, if it was like most of us, they didn't tell you anything. And so what happened for you in that experience?
The weekend? No energy really came up for me because I had been to Iraq twice in just short previous years before this, so I was taking everything with a grain of salt and just letting things flow. I just liked the idea of men getting around work that was meaningful in a way that had a forward-thinking look towards behavior. And I had gone through a fair amount of PTSD counseling and marriage counseling and all that sort of thing. So I had a background and an openness to new structures or new ways of being, and it just all fit. And then throw on there that I have a very strong Native American passion for culture and things that resonate with my heart, like the directions, drumming, you know, the fire dance, all that stuff that's just natural, you know, to me.
It felt comfortable.
It absolutely did. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So did you like do a pit right afterwards and find your way right into an I group, or how did all that go?
Yeah. So no, I was always in a transitory mode for the most part. So I was, I moved from Arizona to New York State, which it was a very much a MKP desert as far as resources here in what's called the Southern Tier of, and that's the cat. So there wasn't a whole lot available. So I think I did a face-to-face I-group outside of Prescott. I'm a digital native, so to speak. So I was diving in anything on MKP Connect and doing the searches, trying to find men, trying to connect, you know, and there just wasn't a whole lot happening. And then I ended up staffing a weekend in upstate New York and connected with men there. And I had issues as far as travel. And so long-term or distance travel was not easy for me. It's between going 2 to 3 hours to get to a resource.
Right.
So, yeah, I found a pit. I drove up in Ontario. I think it was north of Toronto, and they did a weekend intensive. A lot of these trainings for me, if they are not condensed, I'm not really interested. If they're elongated and you have to spread it out and travel and do all this stuff, that's not my bag. I would rather dive in and live it and then move through it quicker.
I think we share that. My pit was the intensive, and I just got a ton out of that. And I don't think it would have been the same otherwise, but I, with you, I like the kind of the doing it like that. That's mm-hmm. great. So I'm curious, curious a little bit about, even though you were traveling a lot, I mean, you were moving around a lot, you still had this inner hunger or drive to find connection of these men. Do you have any kind of sense about what that's about inside of you? Why did that happen to you?
It's probably for primarily selfish reasons of a self-perpetual kind, mm-hmm. right? So I had reached a point where I had understood that trying to build this architecture of connection mm-hmm. Took work. And I never found it with a religion framework. I never found it with government service, which I did a lot. So this appealed to me in that way because it was very cohesive to the way I think. Mm-hmm. So I kept trying to figure out a way, and actually I became the first, what they call me, you know, because they have these tiers, they have areas, and I think I started the first MKP community in the town that I used to live in, not far from here, and I just had a hard time. I kept doing open circle kind of events at the local library, but I could not beat the drum in the right way where people could hear it. So that didn't pan out.
Wow. So this is interesting to me because where we're going to go here in a minute is what you've created for MKP, which kind of really sort of moves from this whole thing you've just spoken about. It's kind of a bridge to this virtual iGroup piece that you have started with another man. So tell me about that. Is that part of what drove you to work with Max and create this virtual iGroups? And then I want to have you say more about them. But share with me a little bit about that.
The online, or originally it was telephonic. I mean, we just did a telephone conference with Max's Airwaves group. And that was a connection through IMKP that put me in touch with Max mm-hmm. because there just wasn't enough resources in this area mm-hmm. To support what I wanted to do. And so Max invited me, and I've been in that Airwaves for 5-6 years. But that was the absolute only connection, other than once in a while trainings or something like that, that I had connection with MKP. And it became a lifeline because the opportunity, and there was times where, you know, I was like, you know, I fight with myself about, oh, I don't need this. Max has kept me in the circle, and it's been fruitful. It has helped me just to be me.
Yeah. So from that learning and how it fit you, you and Max created Virtual iGroups about 4 years ago, something like that. Can you share with me a little bit about that?
Well, Max reached out to me. We were living in outside of Kent, Ohio, and Max reached out to me and said MKP had reached out to him to say about building a protocol on how to run an iGroup in this fashion, in this delivery method. I was like, wow, yeah, that's something I can do. You know, I've written enough military standard operating procedures, and I know enough about regulations and how process works that I thought we could do this pretty easily. And mm-hmm. so we worked on it. I forget when we turned in the first draft to MKP for you know, review and feedback. But it seems like it took us probably close to a year, 8 months, somewhere in that ballpark to build that out.
Yeah, I remember the first time you actually presented that to an iGroup council face to face in Racine. That was 3 years ago or maybe four, and that's was the launch of that.
Right, that's where we created the video to kind of explain what exactly this vision was about. And I think you're right. I think it's 3 or 4 years ago. And just note that we didn't do that face to face. We attended and presented via Zoom.
That was cool.
Or Skype or whatever we were using at that point. But
I actually think it might have been Skype. I can't remember. It was a presentation on virtual to a face to face group that was in fact virtual. Yes, so it was really great.
Yeah.
Well, I just a footnote. It's been very important to me, the virtual I group that I'm in, and actually I have two now. But the virtual I group that I'm in, that you're in, has been really important to me because I travel like you are saying you do, and I live in two different places. So my home I group, it became more complicated for me because when I wasn't there, then I wasn't in the circle. And it's really important. I, like you, sometimes think, well, you know, I don't need this. But then I, you know, wake up and realize what a crazy thought is.
Yeah, right.
So tell me, this has been a pretty big success. You know, what you guys have tapped is this notion that there's a lot of people who live in areas in this country, and actually you have people from out of the country who are in some of these learnings and trainings.
Yes.
There's a lot of people who live in areas that aren't close to I groups, and they aren't in a place where they can actually create a circle of men who are warrior brothers, or even men who have, like you had to struggle with, trying to find men who want to go to those kind of places. Uh-huh. So can you share with me the success of this, how that's felt to you, and, you know, give me some feedback about how exciting that's been to discover and to know that what you thought was real really was.
So I can remember early on talking with men in upstate New York at a training about this concept, and there seemed to be an automatic pushback. Mm-hmm. I'm used to that in most realms because for the fields that I've worked in, dealing with how things have always been, mm-hmm. and culture change and organizational change is a thrill for me because there's an aha, there's a switch. It's like a teacher knowing that they've done well when the kids get whatever the content is, right?
Yeah, yeah.
There's a satisfaction for me that, because I feel like I'm out 5 to 10 years anyway, so there's a natural state for me to usually be ahead mm-hmm. of the curve. Mm-hmm. So when I can shepherd folks towards that as a solution or a possibility, that enriches me quite a bit. So when and it still exists, there's still a stigma, if you will, of that feeling, well, it's not the same as being face to face. It's mm-hmm. can't have the same value. There's not bang for the buck for this. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they just are traditionalists and they don't want to see change like that happen because that's a technological adaption, right? You're changing behavior.
Right.
But, no, I think the value for me in my heart is knowing that, this creates opportunity for men to stay connected in a new and, I'm not going to say better, but definitely more convenient way, mm-hmm. That does not tap any resources other than what they have at the house or wherever they're at. Mm-hmm. There's no additional cost. And it just makes sense. You know, I can think back like when the United States adopted telegraphs, I'm sure the mail carriers that, or, you know, horse delivery people were just up in arms, this new technology, you know, it's going to take all our jobs.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, there's like a natural evolution of how man adopts to technology regardless. It changes all behavior.
Yeah.
And this is just a great extension. My background is a lot in digital learning, you know, mm-hmm. online learning. Mm-hmm. And why not utilize and make it more convenient for the client or the customer?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I have to be honest. There, a friend of mine, named Mark, does a lot of virtual classes and different pieces around that. And I poo-pooed it. It's like, you know, this is just, I've always been a hands-on, face-to-face, you know, I got to be in the energy kind of person. And it shocked me to no end of how valuable and how well that worked. And that, you know, the I group that we're in together, just the very first time, it was like, it went deep, it was good. And it's, you know, but I'm also the guy that said, you know, emails? What is that about? You know, it's a good thing that I wasn't here when they invented the telephone, the light bulb, and the car.
Yeah, right.
I like my horse just fine. Thank you very much. So, great. Well, I just want to share with you how grateful that I am, and how blessed I feel for you. That, you know, the wisdom that you have, the vision that you have, and your willingness to push through people like me who can say, really? I mean, you know, because it's been a really big asset to the project, and I'm hoping that more and more people who are seeing this can hear that and maybe search that out. But you are making a huge difference in MKP and the lives of men in MKP. And of course, that's what we're here to do. That's what we here want to do, is open up our own hearts and the hearts of men all around us. And you're doing that. You're making a difference. And I want you to know how important that is to me and the men that you serve and the men that you will serve through the efforts that you have. So thanks, Edwin. I really, really
well, and I just want to thank you. That I want to make mention that I stand in a gap of progress, right? I'm filling a gap. Mm-hmm. And I stand on and with the men that got me to this gap, like Dan Baldwin and Max and just all the men that have maybe pointed me in the right direction, because I was a seeker, right? I constantly would ask questions, and it became apparent that they wanted to keep that energy moving. So there was a connection that happened, and that's all this is being able to provide a good way and new way of connection.
Yeah. And that's, I really, really appreciate you saying that. I mean, that we do this in ourselves, but not without the help and support of others, not yes. without standing on the backs. And there are people standing on your back as well. So thanks for bringing that forward. Appreciate you being here and being willing to be here with me. And I'm eager to have us spend more time as we move along.
My pleasure.
All right.
Anytime.
Thanks.